the President of the United States.
We have allowed so many weasels to be elected.
So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation, that's what I'm going to do.
Those weasels who deny American exceptionalism.
I believe in American exceptionalism.
Those weasels who are saying to our children in their schools that we need to conform, that we need to bow down to those foreign interests. They're saying to you and I that America is no longer the great shining light upon the hill. Let us send this message. No, no, no. We will not bow down. We will not conform. And we will not go away.
Now on KLZ, Freedom 560 with your host, Ken Clark.
Welcome to Freedom 560. Ken Clark is out. And this is State Representative Justin Everett on 560 KLZ. I'm in the studio joined by two of my old friends, State Representative Kim Ransom, a true defender of liberty in her first year in the legislative session, and also State Senator Tim Neville, who's my state senator. Tim and I were talking before the show that we could probably carry an eight-hour show, just me and Tim talking. So we brought Kim in to make sure we had a little balance here and had a different perspective and just didn't get into sort of the insider thing. But I also want to tell a little story about me hosting for Ken. This is the first time they've given me the reins without supervision. So Ken had called me on Thursday, and he said, you know, Justin, you probably have the most experience out of everybody that's going to show up. So I'm going to hand the reins over to you. And then there was sort of this silence for about 15 seconds where he literally was like, he said to me, well, you know, we're probably going to lose our FCC license. And I said, you know, Ken, just to be a good friend, I want to affirm, you know, what you're saying. So I said, yes. So those of you that from the left or even the more moderate type Republicans that don't like any of us, it's time to flip on the tape recorders or whatever recording device you have, because here we go. But I want to start off the show by talking about activism and really to see how low of a barrier to entry it is to get involved here in the state of Colorado and actually start making a difference at all levels of government. So I wanted to kind of tap Kim and tap Tim. This is going to be fun, Tim and Kim, and hear your guys' stories and how you guys started to get involved and how you got to where you are now. And let's do ladies first. So, Kim, take it away.
Thank you very much, Justin, and thanks for having me here today. I got started by volunteering on a political campaign way back when I was in school, before I even moved to Colorado. I felt like I was not undertaxed. Even as a student, as a college student earning minimum wage waitressing, I saw so much of my paycheck going to taxes. And that was kind of my first dip into the political realm was, well, what can we do? I remember going to vote when I was 18, looking at two people on the ballot, thinking, I don't want to vote for either one of these clowns. And I did live in California, I'll mention that. And I thought, okay, well, how do these people get on the ballot? And that was the beginning of my journey, was trying to figure out how these people got on the ballot. And once I moved to Colorado, it was easy. We have a grassroots system called the caucus, where you can go and you can get elected at a very basic level. In your neighborhood, you can be elected as a precinct committee person. At the same time, volunteering on committees, volunteering on campaigns, volunteering for candidates that you like, that you want to see in office, that might lower your tax bill, support liberty, support your rights, support the Constitution. And that became the beginning of my journey, as I mentioned, was just helping out. And through the years, I looked at outside the box. I homeschooled my kids. I stayed home with my kids, which was kind of a unique situation back in those days, and landed here. After many years of activism, I ended up getting a nomination and winning the race and now serving the state as an elected official.
And Kim, it was interesting to see how you actually got in there, because Republicans had nominated another candidate that decided to take another job. So part of being on the inside and sort of working the grassroots for a number of years, and we've known each other for what, longer than we probably care to mention.
Yes.
But that gave you the opportunity when that actually a candidate vacancy committee, which is actually pretty rare, I think, in the state of Colorado, instead of just a normal type of vacancy committee where you're sometimes getting, as Tim and I know, especially in the old school Jefferson County realm where the certain state reps and state senators try to hand off their seat.
Right.
You actually had Jack Hilbert, who had taken a job and was no longer going to run. So it was actually to fill the vacancy for the seat for someone to run.
Correct. Jack had already won the primary, and everybody in my district, House District 44, we were going to support him and support his race and get him to the state capitol and let him start fighting for liberty. And he was offered a political appointment job and withdrew from the race. And because it was a slot on the ballot, it had to be filled very quickly, just the way the statutes are written for a ballot position. It was a very quick turnaround. And I did. I went and interviewed with the vacancy committee, and it took many hours for those of us. Each interview was about an hour and a half long or longer, and we were in front of the panel that was the vacancy committee, and that night they had a vote, and I walked out the nominee. So Monday I went down to the Secretary of State and had to file paperwork and get started, and here I am.
Yeah, and there's just a few members of the vacancy committee, and you'd gotten to know these people, you know, just from showing up to events and getting to know everybody. And even outside of the, I mean, obviously we've known each other. You lived in Douglas County, and I'm in Jeffco. And even some of the vacancy committee members called me and asked my opinion on Kim Ransom. I'm like, yes, please, we need more help down the state
well,
house.
Well, thank you. I didn't know you had done that, but here I officially offer thanks. And it wasn't just going to events that I had seen these people. They had seen me working shoulder to shoulder with them. I'd been walking precincts. I'd been making phone calls. I'd been working on campaigns. I'd been bringing auction items. I'd been working auctions at our Lincoln Day dinners. The people knew that I was active and involved. I served on the Douglas County Planning Commission. I'd served two terms, and so I knew a lot about land use. And during the growth period of Douglas County, I helped with the platting, and that was all volunteer. And people saw that I was willing to actually get out and do things for my community, and that had been going on for 20 plus years before I ever found myself in a position that I could offer my services on this level.
No, and Kim has been a blessing to have down the legislature. You know, also Tim's son, Pat Neville, we sort of added to our Liberty team down in the State House of Representatives. So Kim's definitely been a blessing to us. It's nice to see more people down there that actually are fighting for your liberties and freedoms. Now, Tim, I want to start with you. And you know, I remember, and I know you got involved long before you got appointed to Senate District 22. But, you know, I still want to bring up the big orange van letter, which I love talking about during the vacancy, because that kind of starts your story of moving into Jefferson County. Sort of there's a letter that went out during when Mike Copps, former minority leader Mike Copps' wife, passed away, and he decided to resign and take care of his family. An opportunity presented itself for Tim. And during the vacancy committee, since Tim's my state senator and I was on the vacancy committee, which was the whole central committee, we got a letter, an orange letter on an orange envelope, an orange piece of paper, two pages. I read it in about 30 seconds. It flowed really well, and it told a story about the Neville family, kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies, rolling up in this old orange van, and their neighbor observing this large orange van rolling up, and this new family that had moved in across the street with their two young boys. Some people may know them as now State Representative Patrick Neville, and then our good friend Joe Neville, that is definitely doing some high level political stuff that we're not going to talk about. So, but Tim, can you tell me your story? Because again, being a Jeffco person, and Tim and I live about 2 miles from each other, and we've known each other for as long, if not longer, than I've known Kim. So, what's your story, Tim? How did you get involved?
Well, I moved out to Colorado in '77, and I came from Florida. And of course, I was actually a member of a different political party then, a party which long ago has left pretty much anybody that thinks like I do. I got involved based upon actually it was a drive. It was back in the days of Terry Considine, the drive to start term limits. I have a little different take on term limits now. I think it can be kind of a two-edged sword. We do lose some value in there. But my focus was to make a difference. And I really didn't give a darn about what party was behind it. Matter of fact, I didn't know when I went to the first meeting. And it turned out that, those were Republicans that were running the meeting. Now, when I first came to Colorado, I got to say, Justin, in 77, coming from Florida, where you had – a different type of party, the Democrat Party, than you saw in Colorado. And I came out here and I said, okay, I found the Socialist Party. Where's the Democrat Party? Well, it didn't exist anymore, pretty much. You pretty much had the Socialist Democrat Party. So I knew that was like that in Minnesota and some other states, but I didn't realize Colorado was that bad. But living in at that time in Adams County, in Old Town Thornton, it was a very interesting situation, a very blue-collar area. But anyway, that was my original foray into politics, was just to try to get term limits going. And then, of course, I did actually ended up supporting Terry Considine when he ran for U.S. Senate also. And then started, you know, meeting some of the other people within the party. And when I moved to Jefferson County, it just so happened that I moved into the actually the same district that at that time, let's see, it was Susan Wadhams, Dick Wadhams' first wife. Before Susan passed away, Susan was our precinct captain. So it was just coincidence, totally coincidence, that we lived about a block away. And then I got involved in, you know, Jefferson County politics, but from a standpoint of basically helping other people, you know, as Kim said, you know, running a lot of door knocking and, you know, handing out flyers and that type of thing, and helping where you can, helping with various races. And it stayed that way until, you know, I had a short foray. I was working out of state for several years, and we were keeping two households going. And when I came back to Colorado permanently again, at least moving to Colorado to, you know, get back to the family as the grandkids were starting to pop up, I was, I guess I sort of drew a short straw in a situation with Senator Kopp's race. There were a number of us that were involved in trying to make sure we had principal conservative in that seat. And when it looked like the person that was going to step up was an individual who had served for a number of years in the House, and we felt that voting record was questionable the last few years, especially on key issues such as, you know, the AMI Care, House Bill 200, 1165 on the oil and gas, the coal oil and gas switch, some of the other things that we felt were detrimental to Colorado. Kind of we made a decision that somebody was going to get involved and run in that race and challenge that individual. And it happened to be me when all was said and done. So,
okay, we have to go to break, but you are listening to Freedom 560 on KLZ AM 560, and we'll be right back. And we are back on Freedom 560. This is State Representative Justin Everett filling in for Ken Clark. Today in the studio, I have State Senator Timothy Neville, also known as Tim, and a good friend of mine, and also another great, great, good friend of mine that I serve with in the State House of Representatives, State Rep Kim Ransom. Before the break, we were talking with Senator Neville about how he had gotten involved. And the whole point here is that there's a really low barrier to entry, you know, even getting to elected office, let alone actually trying to make a difference. So we were talking about the vacancy committee, and Tim was being nice about who he was challenging, and there's been a, you know, and we'll get into this after Tim finishes the story. But in Jefferson County and in Douglas County for a long time, there's been this sort of what we call the establishment Republican. There's some groups that call them ogres, so old guard Republican establishment types. And the fact of the matter is that we're actually seeing change, and it's due to the elections of people like Kim and Tim and a lot of hard work over the years. But Tim, you know, before the break, we're talking about, you know, how you got to where you were, and I also want to talk about, you know, what you did in 2012 and sort of how that's helped sure. some of us younger Liberty folks.
Sure. Well, let's finish the orange van. Yeah, the background of that story, it might you know, we're blessed to come into an area with great neighbors, and I had one gentleman and lady living across the street. He's passed away, and he was sort of a what you would call a curmudgeon type of guy, hardworking guy, and we rolled up in orange, the old Bronco style vans. You know, I don't know how old that van was, but it was sort of the camping van and a little bit of everything van. And anyway, we were rolled up that with that, but we also had a truck that one of our other relatives had, with a giant flatbed truck, and on top of that flatbed trailer had pretty much every piece of furniture that we owned. And then we had probably, I don't know, 15 kids that were, you know, various cousins and everything else that were down to help us get it unloaded. And it looked like the Beverly Hillbillies on steroids. And, of course, people are like, where are they from? They're from, oh, they're moving to Jefferson County. They're from Thornton. Oh, my gosh, what's going on? So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. But anyway, that was the, I talked to my neighbor and said, we're going to get involved in this race. And she offered to help us out. And she brought that story back and remembered that day. And it was a good story. I mean, it really showed, barrier to entry. I mean, yeah, it is pretty low. You don't need to be an elitist. And as a matter of fact, I would love to see the legislature full of more, I think, rank and file folks that just want to, A, you got to have a pulse. B, you have to have understand a little bit about policy. And C, you better be ready to go do battle.
Yeah, and when Tim won the vacancy committee in 2012, replaced former minority leader Mike Kopp, there had been a sort of long-standing handing off the seat. Mike Kopp had sort of shaken that tree. Former state senator Norm Anderson had basically resigned in vacancy committees, similar to what happened to Kim, but a different type of vacancy committee where state reps or state senators would literally hand off the seat to their anointed through a vacancy committee, and we wouldn't go through the process. And that had been sort of the Jeffco way, the sort of old guard. And Jeffco has always been that way. And Mike Kopp had sort of shaken that tree in 2006. A lot of people say that there's maybe a certain organization that Tim and I get blamed for, being puppets of, that was involved in that. And then Tim getting that vacancy committee and really pointing out that just because you have an R next to your name does not mean that you're a conservative. Doesn't mean that you stand for smaller government. Doesn't mean you stand for liberty and personal freedom. And they were able to highlight that during the vacancy committee, and it was pretty acrimonious, to say the least, from the other side, more so, I thought. And Tim just did all the heavy lifting and hard work and did his vote count and definitely got appointed. But, when Tim got in the legislature in 2012, and Tim just sort of swung for the fences. And he got redistricted, or actually reapportioned out of the district. It's funny, if you look at how they drew what's now Senate, he was in Senate 22. It was just sort of, it used to be 285 South in Jefferson County was Senate right. 22. The seat sort of made sense. You had a few different demographic areas, but it kind of made sense, at least, from a geographical standpoint. And now, he is in Senate 16. But you look at how Senate 16 is drawn. They draw in Tim's neighborhood, Leawood, and then it goes down Coal Mine and then or down Pierce and then cuts over Coal Mine and then draws me in. And then it all drops all the way below 417 and then goes up and around and in the mountains, sort of a reverse J. And it's just one of those gerrymandered type of districts.
It's sort of an artistically drawn district with a little bit of a Picasso flair and throw in some Democrat influence on it, I guess, and that's what you get.
I mean, he has Denver, Gilpin, Boulder, Jeffco, and do you have some Arapaho as well?
No, that's it. That's it.
But it had always traditionally been a South Jeffco seat, and so they kind of drew some people, and I'd already filed for what was House District 28 at the time, but House District 22 has ended up where I ended up. And Tim went in 2012, and he just swung for the fences. I mean, all the bills that you ran were, you ran right to work. Mm-hmm. You ran a couple gun bills. And
a religious conscience. We had a memorial to that, which really focused on the issues with Obamacare. And, we had quite a few, a number of bills that, why not move the football? So.
And even, he definitely raised a lot of eyebrows and, leadership. He was a fan. I mean, leadership loved him so much in 2012. But then, when I got in there and unfortunately Tim got drawn out and he had to wait to run for that seat. And, Tim's a conservative, true blue conservative. And, he's unwavering in his views. And he won one of the most competitive state Senate seats this past election cycle. With some help from his friends, but a lot of elbow grease and a lot of hard work, and ran as a conservative. You did not hide where you stood on the issues. So those of you that think that in a competitive seat you have to be this sort of moderate, squishy liberal Republican to win, that's just not the case. I mean, you're not going to drive out the base, and you're not going to win that election. I mean, Tim, Laura Woods, almost getting Tony Sanchez. There's a lot of examples out there of good people that won competitive seats. And Tim's raising his hand because he wants to pipe in. But here's the thing about me and Tim is that we always compete for who's going to take over the conversation. if we had a camera in the studio, if you could see what was going on. But for when I got in there in 2013, after seeing what Tim did in
2012 was definitely inspiring and allowed me to, you know, my first, I have a reputation for voting no a lot, but, you know, on bad bills, it just sort of gave me some cover to, you know, really show where I was principally and stand up to leadership. And Tim sort of set that precedent when he was in there for that 1 year. And now we're looking at that. Tim, I think, really helped start that brush fire that you're seeing. But Tim wants to pipe in. So, Senator Neville, what did you want to add to the conversation?
A lot. No. I think you hit it. I think we changed the dynamics. And I think, you know, we showed, as I think most Republicans in particular know this in their heart, and we can see this even on the national side, that if you have somebody that is trying to, you know, we used to like to say, tell people, you can't out-Democrat the Democrats, so why try? You know, be who you are, and also, you know, basically, you know, make a difference between who you're running against. But if your policies, if you believe in what you believe in, and you can back that up with logic that makes sense for people, for their families and for their businesses, you're going to do okay. And in the end, you know, we always said, a good friend of mine, Tim Leonard, always reminded me, at some point, you know, you go out and you do the best you can. After that, you trust God and the voters. Call it a day.
Definitely. And, you know, and it's not just and you have to understand, you know, from those of you that have sort of soured on the Republican Party, and there's actually a movement afoot to really change. Even in deep red parts of, you know, Republican bastions, we're seeing an upgrade, of what I consider an upgrade, you know, definitely a pro-liberty conservative upgrade, even in Douglas County. And, you know, Kim's been part of that movement in Douglas County. I mean, we have Senator Chris Hulbert, we have State Representative Kevin Van Winkle, and then we have this guy, Pat Neville. We are coming up in a hard break in a minute. So we might be cut off at any given moment. But, you know, Kim, you know, definitely we've seen some changes in Douglas County in the last couple of years, and seeing that conservative movement, you know, move through Douglas County as well. And again, it comes down to evaluating those Republican candidates that and say, just because you have an R next to your name, it doesn't necessarily mean you stand for a certain set of values.
True. And I think that the Douglas County representatives now are a formidable force in the House. We're trying hard to be. We're trying hard to make our presence known and vote the right way and always vote in support of not just our constituents, but obviously also what the right is, the right being the Constitution and our principles, and evaluating all of our votes based on that. And I think overall, Douglas County has been a very big part of state and national races too, just because we can put out a very good percentage.
And we're coming up on a hard break. You are listening to Freedom 560 on 560 KLZ.
Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars.
Are we
Beverly
back?
Hillbillies.
Okay. And we're back on Freedom 560 on 560 KLZ. This is State Representative Justin Everett filling in for Ken Clark. In the studio with me is State Representative Kim Ransom and State Senator Tim Neville. If you're hearing the Beverly Hillbillies music, if you just tuned in, we talked about Tim's story about when he first moved to Jefferson County with the orange van and this flatbed truck with all their furniture on there, which is kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies rolling in, and you know, definitely some comedic relief. gotta love the lead-in music. You know, there's always a theme here. But we were talking before the break about, you know, definitely, you know, a lot of liberty activists out there, whether it's Tea Party, whatever, have, you know, kind of become disaffected with the Republican Party. But we're talking about how there has been a shift back towards liberty, towards those principles of liberty and freedom and smaller government. And, you know, Douglas County, and I want to give a shout out to Senator Ted Harvey as well, because, you know, Ted's been a warrior for a number of years in the legislature, to where he was a lot of times the lone voice down there. You know, and we've definitely seen some changes, you know, just in the 3 years I've been down there, and definitely since 2012 when Tim served one session. But, you know, we're talking during the break amongst ourselves is that, you know, Jeffco, I think, is a good lesson, you know, and looking at Douglas County, where I believe everybody in elected office in Douglas County, I think, is probably a Republican.
Yes, that is.
So
yes.
It's deep red. And in 1984, Jefferson County was the exact same way. And, you know, I've been in Jeffco since 78. Tim's been there since, you know,
Jeff goes since 88 permanently.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, in 88. So, I mean, we've been there a long time. So, you know, Tim got in there right when we started to see a slight shift away from that. But these are these type of establishment Republicans that, you know, are willing to sell out to crony corporatists, or willing to, you know, vote for big government programs, you know, and just with an R next to their name, and it really hurts our brand. But you're seeing this shift back, and, you know, and it's a warning to Douglas County or in El Paso, for example, you know, that you have to be vigilant in who you're electing. And, you know, Douglas County's definitely, you know, I think in the last couple of years gotten some upgrades and some seats. And Jefferson County at the same time, you know, we've definitely done a pretty good job. In fact, this past year, we sort of tossed most of the establishment out of a lot of leadership positions. And some of these people held these positions for three decades and, you know, sort of their power base. And they've sort of controlled the spice in Jefferson County. But we're able to change that even in Jefferson County. And now if you're looking at Jefferson County, I mean, between the election of Senator Tim Neville and Laura Woods, Senator Laura Woods, and, you know, maybe even myself, I'll throw myself in there, is that you're out of those seats in Jefferson County, we're starting to win back those competitive seats with conservative pro-liberty candidates, and we're starting to make an impact. And it's, you know, it's an important thing that listeners understand that you shouldn't give up on the Republican Party. There's still a lot of us out there that are fighting for those principles, and we're actually making a difference in moving the needle in the right direction.
You know, I think the key thing, Justin, you hit on several points, and I know when I was campaigning and I talked to a lot of people from Douglas and Weld County, El Paso County, even out in Mesa, areas where you have fairly strong conservative or at least a strong Republican voter registration, and there are advantages there. I think there are two things that are important here. Number one, it's important that we have strong conservatives from those areas who can stand up and weather the storms in the legislature. I made a decision a long time ago. It didn't matter if I won by, you know, 100 votes or, you know, 10,000 votes, how I was going to try to work within the legislature and be bold. I mean, that's, you know, otherwise, why are we, you know, we're there for, you know, 4 years, maybe 8 years max. And, you know, what are we going to be leaving? I mean, our job is to actually get something done and to move the needle. So that's the focus. And there are ways to do that. You know, bottom line, you know, we were put up there to basically be bold on our principles and stand up. And so if the legislators from those strong Republican-dominated areas are not as bold, that creates some problems, I think, within the legislative caucus. And it basically takes the edge off of the caucus of what the caucus is trying to do. The other thing, too, is I run into a lot of elected officials or electors within different areas, and I might be talking about an issue, and somebody says, well, how did my guy vote? Or how did my lady that supports, you know, that is my senator or my – and when you start talking about that, sometimes it's very, very interesting what you find out when people say, what? They really did that? They voted this way or that way? It's like – so a lot of times it's just a question of making sure that the electors truly stay in touch with their officials and let them know what they believe and, you know, keep them on the straight and narrow a little bit too.
Yeah, Tim, I want to focus on something you said about being bold. And you didn't mince words definitely on the campaign trail. And, you know, here's a perfect example. So the liberal bastion of the city and county of Denver, which you have part of your district is actually city and county of Denver. Mm-hmm. What was sort of the vote total there? I mean, how close were you to winning city and county of Denver?
Let's see. It's about 19% of our of the election in Senate District 16. And I think we came out, when all was said and done, about 100 votes down.
100 votes short. So you came within 100 votes of actually winning Denver. I mean, that's just unheard of. And Tim ran as a conservative. And even in liberal Denver County, he was able to, with elbow grease and staying on message and not swimping or squishing out on conservative values, he was able to come that close. So again, when you hear that mantra that we always hear from that power base that's been in power in the Republican Party for so many years, saying we need to run this moderate, squishy Republican type candidate to win in competitive seats, it's a bunch of baloney. It's absolutely a bunch of baloney, and the numbers back that up. So, you know, when you're looking at candidates and you're evaluating candidates, and, you know, and you hear something like, oh, Tim Neville can't win because he's too conservative, That's a bunch of baloney. Oh, Laura Woods can't win Senate 19 because she's too conservative, you know, in this hugely competitive seat that maybe even leans D. I mean, we haven't had that seat for, what, since Jim Congrove had that in, what, the 90s or something like that.
I believe that's about right.
And we won that back in 2014, and I fully expect Senator Laura Woods to continue her success, electoral success. I know she's been out there knocking on doors and talking to citizens, and she had a very good legislative record this year. And I think she's going to run as a conservative again, and she's going to win that seat again. We're going to hold on to that seat. And I think, you know, we actually may pick up some seats in the state Senate, you know, in Arapahoe County and maybe a seat in Adams County as well.
And she's a hard worker. I mean, that's the one thing we talk about, you know, barriers to entry. Well, one of the barriers to entry, if you're looking for an easy ride, if you become a candidate, there might be some areas that, possibly you know, specific counties that have high Republican, you know, advantages. In many of the counties and many of the specific, really the targeted races, you're going to have close numbers. And so, you know, the thing I can tell you about Denver, we walked those neighborhoods of Denver tremendously. And shout out to my good friend Ray Garcia, who ran as a state representative for the state representative in House District 1. He didn't successfully win that. He had a pretty big hill to climb in the numbers, especially in the part that overlapped with me. It was a little closer, but in the other part, it was, you know, pretty strong Democrat dominance. But one thing I can say about Ray, we walked all those neighborhoods, we walked the houses, we went everywhere. Interesting neighborhoods, everything from, you know, high-end neighborhoods to low-end neighborhoods, everybody and everyone in between. You know, the key thing I can tell you is that when you get out there, if you're going to be a candidate, just engage. Don't worry about who's going to be knocking it or who's going to be answering the door. Just be ready and just be able to relate to them. And I think that was I have to give Ray a lot of credit. There were a number of, we spent many, many nights walking those neighborhoods and talking to a lot of people and getting out a strong liberty message. And then at the end of the message, it would be like, well, are you running as a what party? Okay, well, this is the party we're running for, but this is who we are. And that made it, I think that made a huge difference.
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, I've seen also the whole stand on principle. And, you know, when I was out knocking doors as well, I mean, they're looking for candidates that are going to stand on principle. And it's not just Republican voters, it's unaffiliated voters, and even some right-leaning Democrats. And I think that's how someone that's going to shake it up, that's going to stand on principle, has definitely been successful in getting the outreach. And you know, it's really important. But also, you know, in safer Republican counties like Douglas County, State Representative Kim Ransom, because we got to make sure that we include Kim in this conversation, otherwise Tim and I will dominate that. But still, you know, being the gatekeeper in Douglas County and making sure that we do have those, again, what I said earlier is, you know, making sure we do have those right type of candidates. And a lot of this comes down to candidate recruitment as well. And so right now we're looking forward to the 2016 election cycle. So maybe we have a strong conservative presidential candidate on the Republican side. Maybe they'll have coattails. Maybe we'll all be on message, you know, on this whole pro-liberty, conservative, small government type message that I think wins elections. Maybe we won't. And maybe it'll be somebody that's going to drag down the ticket and it's going to hurt us down ticket to where, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll lose some seats in the House. And I'm not saying we're going to lose some seats in the House, but that's always a possibility. So the question is, you know, do we upgrade our caucus? Do we get everybody moving in the same direction? Do we have that principled conservative message throughout the caucus and strengthen our caucus base? So, I mean, really, I think what I really want to emphasize is those of you out there that may know someone that's a good principled person that wants to run, encourage them to run. And, you know, we'll give our contact information later in the show. But we're more than happy to sit down and vet these candidates because, you know, Tim, Kim and I have been around for quite a long time. And we've pretty much heard all the BS, and we've gotten pretty good at wading through that, and we're really good at critically evaluating the type of candidate and whether they're going to be able to work and raise money and sort of do those fundamentals. So we're really looking at candidate recruitment right now. So Tim, you know, when it comes to candidate recruitment, I mean, we did this a couple weeks ago. Actually, you did something this morning. You met with a candidate
this
morning.
I met with, I think, who's going to be a very good candidate this morning. So let them put their race together and everything else. But, you know, where we can be helpful, and we've, you know, probably, it's like anything else. It's like if you have somebody that's going into business, you know, you want to sit down and they're, oh, I've got an idea. I want to do this. I want to do that. You know, I try not to, you know, talk people into it or talk people out of it. But, you know, I think we do have an opportunity to really give people a good lay of the land, but also ask some very, very direct questions at times that candidates will be, be hit with. And I think that's important, too. But, yeah, the bottom line is, I think good candidates realize the first thing, it's not about us, and good legislators, it's not the Justin Kim and Tim show. This is about the people. And, hopefully we're building something that long after we're gone, we can, be proud of. And then it's up to the next generation. And I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit more about that later on, too.
Yeah, and Kim, I wanted to have you pipe in, and I know, you want to pipe in on what you want to actually talk about. However, I also going to give you a zinger question, but after serving, being down there your first session, you've always been definitely part of the team, and not only the conservative team but the Republican team. But there's a lot of sort of piggybacking what Senator Neville said, is that when you stop representing the people, you're representing yourself. And I think we saw a lot of that without naming names. I mean, I like to name names, but I'm not going to put you on the spot for that. But I think that you probably saw a lot of that, to where you saw people putting government or themselves first in their political ambitions, instead of, actually trying to represent the people. And when you stop representing the people, that's when you get into trouble.
I think that it's important for us to look at what people want their next race to be, because a lot of people that are in the House, in the Senate, are thinking, oh, they want to move on to a state race. They want to be state treasurer or something along that line, or they want to go to Congress, to Washington, D.C. And the people that are filling a role now and doing the right thing, that's helpful for us to see what their true motivation is.
And we got to cut to a break. I believe right now we're still doing some growing pains here. And so the snap break signal just came in. So you're listening to Freedom 560 on 560 KLZ. We are back on Freedom 560, KLZ AM 560. This is State Representative Justin Everett filling in for Ken Clark today. Ken had to take care of some business. In the studio with me is State Representative Kim Ransom and State Senator Tim Neville. And before the break, we're talking about some issues about, candidate recruitment and getting the right type of candidate. And, we're looking for candidates for 2016 and 2018 and sort of trying to build our bench. So, Kim, you wanted to talk about, what it takes to build a bench and how important that is.
Yes, I think it's so important for us to find people within our community that are active already. And it's so nice when people have run for office for local offices, whether it's to be on your library board or to serve as a county commissioner or on the school board. We have so, and various county offices, we can get a flavor of what people have, what their beliefs are and how they're going to vote. That being said, as we discussed at the beginning of the show today, I had not served in elected official capacity. So I know initially people knew me. They knew who I supported in the past. They knew where I donated my dollars. They knew where I went to church. They knew how I spoke. But until they actually saw my voting record this spring in the House, to some extent, they couldn't prove who I was really going to be. And that is where we want to get to know people. We want to get to know people for years and years if possible. It's nice if they've served in some type of capacity on campaigns. That's why we talked about volunteering on campaigns. Please go out and get involved and bring auction items to your Lincoln Day dinner and do all those things. Let us get to know you. But we really do want to fill our shoes. Anybody that's in elected office now should be getting to know the people in their district, so that when it's time for them/us to move on, we want to have good people that are ready to step in, and we want to be helping them get their feet on the ground.
Yeah, definitely. And the voting record's important, because there's a lot of people that have talked a big game over the years, and we've all seen that. And then as Senator Neville was talking about before the break, is then they get in there and then they do something a little different than what they actually promised during the campaign or what they've been whispering in your ear for the last 10 10 years, and that's always a challenge. Until we've, as you know, both of you guys, you know, once you're actually the guy or gal and casting those votes, and there's a lot of pressures down the legislature, and there's a lot of pressures from your district. But still, it's sort of, you got to know who you are and what you're all about before you run for office, otherwise you're going to get lost down there. But also, you know, we want to have good, strong conservative candidates, and it also comes from the grassroots, I think the bottom up. And Senator Neville, I think you wanted to talk about, you know, that sort of bottom up approach versus that top down approach.
Yeah, you bet, Justin. I think, and Kim, you know, Kim made some very good points. The bottom line is that there are things that you can control and there are things that you can't control. Now, local elections are within our control. We can't control a state election or even a federal election from Douglas County or from Jefferson County or even Denver or whatever else. We can have a variety of impacts possibly on that election, but we definitely can control the elections in our own backyard. City council races; these are races also too. The school board, those type of things. The city council races. If you take a look and you look at the dollars that are spent on city council races, with the exception of Denver City Council and possibly, you know, to a lesser degree, El Paso or Colorado Springs City Council, most of those races are very small dollar races. If you get great people that are involved and they're passionate and they get in there and they can actually, you know, be ready to campaign and go out and raise a few dollars, but from friends, family, other supporters. We're not talking about huge dollar tickets to make a difference in those races. Somebody is going to sit in those seats, and I can guarantee you over the next 12 months, or at least the next 18 months for sure, there are going to be some critical decisions that are going to affect your liberty that are made by those people. So the question is, are they liberty-minded people? Or are they something else?
Well, in one of the famous quotes from someone who's definitely not considered a liberty person in politics by any stretch of the imagination was Tip O'Neill, you know, former Speaker of the House, and he said, "All politics is local," and that holds true. It's probably one of the best axioms we've heard in politics in the last century. But you know, it's also, you know, it's an easy barrier to entry if you do want to run for office, especially something like city council, because I think most city councils like 50 signatures you have to get. So if you can knock on 50 doors. Or have 50 friends within the local area. I mean, just to get ballot access, it's pretty easy. But I also want to point out that even those statewide races, whether it's U.S. Senate or governor or something like that, Colorado's unique. And Representative Ransom brought this up earlier, and we have a caucus system. And I think they do it a little bit differently in some counties than we do in Jeffco. But you can get elected what we call state delegate to the state convention, which is our nominating convention for our statewide races. And you can go to your local caucus meeting, which is a little neighborhood meeting, get elected state delegate. And if you're able to coordinate and make some phone calls, you can actually make an impact even on these state races and help choose who these candidates are instead of from the top up, the sort of self-anointed candidate from the people that have been losing elections here in Colorado for Republicans for almost two decades, or it can be a grassroots type candidate that, you know, I think would fare better in a general election. And it only takes a Tuesday night in February or March, and then a Saturday pretty much in April or May, and maybe sometimes as late as June. I don't think it's June that much anymore. And we're going to be coming up on a break in about 1 minute. But still, again, the barrier to entry here to actually make a difference. And those of you that are disaffected with the Republican Party saying that we've pretty much gone off the reservation, you know, we don't represent your freedoms and liberties, and, you know, we're about crony corporatism and big government. And there are Republicans out there. And, you know, I mean, that our brand has definitely been hurt in the past decades and centuries with a few blips on the screen. But, you know, definitely in Colorado, we're definitely seeing the movement, moving that needle back in the right direction. And although you can't see me in studio, I'm holding up quotation marks when I say right direction. So it's easy to make a difference here in Colorado. It's easy to make sure you get these type of pro-liberty conservative type of candidates. It's just you getting out there and getting it done. Coming on a break, and you're listening to Freedom 560 on AM 560 KLZ.